Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. My name is Jean Degarian, Executive Editor for SearchHealthIT. Today we're speaking with Tom Durrell, Chief Information Officer of Valley Baptist Health System in Harlingen, Texas. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Now, providers today are facing a slew of changes as they implement technology. From electronic health records to data security, the pace is rapid. But one other upgrade must happen before even those, the conversion to ICD-10 codes, the codes which effectively dictate how providers are reimbursed for services. Now, Tom, Valley Baptist has been doing this for several years now. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into the conversion?
Well, we're actively in an initiative to assess the impact of ICD-10 on all the systems here at Valley Baptist. You know, from my view, there's not necessarily good understanding or context of ICD codes. 10 or 30 years ago, actually, when ICD-9 was implemented, those codes were not used for reimbursement purposes. Coding at that time existed so that we could classify procedures and diagnoses for analysis and research purposes, but not for reimbursement. And then in 1984 is when Medicare first started using DRGs and made the ICD codes central to reimbursement. But even as late as the 1990s, I was the CIO of Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, and a reimbursement for Blue Cross Blue Shield did not depend upon ICD codes, even in the middle to late 90s. So it's really been only, you know, a decade or a little bit more of a decade that ICD codes have become central to almost all types of reimbursement. In that time, we've also expanded the use of ICD codes to do things like care management, scheduling, registration. So over time, the codes have somewhat inundated all levels of applications and systems and so forth, that today we're not quite sure where the code is actually used and how it's used. I mean, it's obviously used in systems that are used to bill, but it's also used in many other systems to schedule care management and so forth, which I just mentioned. So we have a large job ahead of us to go in, assess within every application we have to see if, in fact, ICD-9 and then eventually ICD-10 codes, you know, are used, and we need to remediate those systems.
So the plan is to sort of separate what the codes are used for and take it away from that sort of umbrella, we're going to make these codes impact everything?
Well, not really. I mean, it's important when you schedule to know what is the projected diagnosis the patient's coming in for, or what procedure. Years ago, we would just use the name. Today, we put it in as a provisional ICD code, and we drive certain algorithms and certain processes off of those codes. Again, it's not a billing issue. It's scheduling the patient for services. Here we have about 130 different applications that we maintain and manage. And my estimate is probably maybe 60 have some level of dependency on ICD-9 codes. And we will have to remediate those systems. So the process is we contact the particular supplier of that software and find out what their timeline is to accommodate ICD-10, and then it's like a jigsaw puzzle. How do you bring it all together so that it all happens and can be tested and operational by October 1st of 2013?
And this is the reason why hospitals should be doing that assessment and looking at that and taking the time to be ready for that deadline.
That's exactly right. The again, going back to the context, a lot of people simply believe that ICD codes exist for billing. And as I said, ICD codes have been around for years, you know, 100 years. And we've only used them for billing in the past 20 to 30 years. So they are used in a whole variety of places, and we need to understand how they're used, why they're used, and how they're going to be changed by the supplier of the software. One of the other things to understand is that on October 1st, 2013, we're not going to stop using ICD-9 codes. There's a latency issue in billing account receivables, in transactions that are historical transactions that we'll have to take care of. So for some time, we'll have to operate in a world of both ICD-10 and ICD-9. And understanding how the software providers are going to allow their applications to function both with ICD-9 and ICD-10 is a major issue.
And how is that process going with the software vendors? Are they in tune with the changes that need to come, or is there a lot of education going on back and forth there?
Well, many of them are in a relatively good shape of understanding and have a plan, or they've announced a release and a date when their software will become ICD-10 compliant. Some, we've had a couple of vendors or suppliers who indicated they're basically just going to exit their product, that they're no longer going to continue supplying a given product. Now, these are normally very minor types of applications. The core applications, the companies who provide patient accounting, scheduling, coding, care management, and so forth, are all scheduling a release to handle ICD-10 and ICD-9, and then we have to figure out the jigsaw puzzle as to how these things come together and how they interoperate downstream.
And what type of training goes into that for medical staff or staff across the entire health system?
Well, the thing to understand is that we're moving from roughly, 13,000 diagnosis codes to 65,000, and a similar type of multiple on the diagnosis codes. And what is really happening is that we are creating a higher degree of definition in the code as to the representing the care that was delivered. What ICD codes do is it takes the entire episode of care with thousands of transactions that occur on a patient, and it reduces it to a set of codes, a set of numbers. And those numbers can then be analyzed to compare patients, to bill patients, to do research. What we're doing in ICD-10 is we're increasing the fidelity of the data. So it's a two-part thing. One is we're putting in a coding system that can be more defined, but it can only be more defined if the underlying documentation that is coded has
right.
That degree of fidelity in it. So this has a huge impact on physicians, and predominantly physicians, because ICD codes are based upon the documentation of physicians and not other caregivers, but it's really on physicians and their clinical notes and how they write their clinical notes. So we will have to work with physicians on increasing the definition within their notes, increasing the fidelity at which they document so that we then can in turn code it. And I think this process, you don't want to do it too soon, and you can't do it too late. So I would expect that beginning in 2013, we will expand what we call a clinical documentation improvement process, where we are constantly working with physicians to educate them on how they need to document a given procedure or a given diagnosis so that it can be coded.
how many physicians is Valley Baptist working with? Just in your system, how many physicians?
Well, we have a the active medical staff in the system itself is somewhere in the order of 300 physicians and that are, you know, day in, day out active, and there's another 300. The entire medical staff is about 600 physicians, 300 of which are routinely active.
And I'm trying to get a sense of how long it might take any facility to really do this conversion and conduct all of the training and analysis that you guys are doing. You have that 600 staff. How long has it been taking to get everybody up and running on this if you want to meet that 2013 deadline?
Yeah, I mean, what we are doing today, and I would encourage all the hospitals out there to do, all the CIOs out there to do, you have to do an assessment. The problem you have is an unknown. You don't know how ICD penetrates your entire environment. So you have to make an assessment so you understand that. And what are the codes being used for? Then once you have that assessment made, you need to come up with a remediation plan, and it certainly involves talking to the suppliers, finding out when they will have their information or their software available, and laying out a plan for upgrades and implementation. We, in essence, will have to re-implement 60 or so systems within the next few years. And obviously it takes time and money and resources to do those upgrades. At some point, probably beginning in the 2013, early in 2013, we'll start training physicians having to do with directly impacting their documentation for ICD-10. Now today in 2011, we continue to work with physicians on improving their documentation relative to ICD-10. Nine and the DRGs that are used today. So the work with the physicians is really an expansion of what we are doing today. It's going to be a major expansion because, again, the codes are five times. There are five times the number of codes in ICD-10 than ICD-9, and you can sort of translate that the physician will have to do three times, five times the amount of specificity in their notes if we're going to code them.
It's a lot of work.
It's an enormous amount of work, and it's very serious because if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to issue bills, you're not going to collect money, and you're not going to be able to provide comparisons and so forth. You know, if you look at core measures, which all hospitals being faced with, core measures are dependent upon ICD-10. And you very seldom hear people talking about, oh, I got to do core measures. But if you look at core measures are driven by diagnostics or diagnoses, which are all ICD-9 based today. So
how does this ICD-10 is not the only translation going on in the healthcare industry. There's a lot of projects, implementation projects around electronic health records. Is there any crossover between the EHRs and improving the clinical records and coding, and how are you balancing those two?
I think there's an enormous amount of crossover or integration and opportunity to basically do it once versus multiple times. And the paradigm shift that we have to do is stop thinking in terms of applications and start thinking in terms of data. We historically have always thought of applications, and so we have to remediate this application, A, B, C, D, and so forth. And while there's still that aspect, if you change it to let's understand what the data is and where the data is flowing, what we've discovered is just like we have issues with ICD-10, we have issues with other data. And the consistency of the data and the use of the data. So we've actually launched a whole data management process in conjunction with the work on ICD-10. And then if you look at meaningful use and the electronic health record and medical record, a lot of the criteria have to do, certainly they all have to do with data integrity. And then they have to do like with core measures or reporting. And the same analysis you're doing to locate ICD-10 codes and how you're going to remediate it. You know, while you're in those systems, you're also looking at, well, how is the system playing into meaningful use? How is it going to play into the reporting structure and so forth? If you can get to that data-focused paradigm, you're saving time and money because you're covering several needs with one analytical activity. If you don't get there, what you'll do is go and look at a system for ICD-10, and then later you'll come back and look at it for meaningful use, and then you'll learn that there's data issues, and you'll come back and look at it for data integrity. So you're doing a sequential sort of process versus a parallel process. We are doing a parallel process.
We're looking at a cultural shift across the entire industry for providers and everybody within the health.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to a much more granular environment, and I think that it's important in the IS environment to gain a good contextual understanding of ICD-10. Many people who have come to work in healthcare in the last 20 years think that ICD codes, the only purpose of ICD codes is to develop DRGs to get billed and paid, and that's not true. And by gaining a contextual understanding, I think you're better able to sort of cover the waterfront and see things, opportunities to do things in parallel, because you understand that this code relates to these other areas and I need to remediate those things, but wait, they also relate to meaningful use, so I can also cover it in that aspect. You know, if you look at healthcare reform, within healthcare reform are such things as hospitals will have to deliver bills to consumers that consumers can actually understand. They will have to deal with combined billing, where there will be one payment and money will have to be distributed to other providers, the hospital, and then the doctors and the surgeons and so forth. Well, if you look at what you're going to need to do for those functions, it's essentially all the same. You have to get into the guts of your systems, understand how the data is being structured and how you can normalize it and use it. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for paralleling our efforts, but you have to do it with an overall context.
Great, Tom. Well, thank you. I wish you the best of luck with your upgrades, and hopefully the rest of the industry catches on, too. This is Jean Degarian with Search Health IT. We've been talking with Tom Durrell, CIO of Valley Baptist Health System. Tom, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.